Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you right now. We thank you for open eyes, Father God. We thank you for open ears. Lord, we just give you full reins. We have the authority. We open up our hearts this evening. We just ask that you would just rule and reign in our hearts. We ask that you would penetrate the deepest parts of our soul and begin to shift every negative emotion in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the fear that's being casted out. We thank you for the anxiety that's being casted out. We thank you for the loneliness that's being casted out into the sea of forgetfulness right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for revelation of who you are, because as we see who you are, we see who we are, and we can walk with our heads lifted high, and we can look at you as our teacher and as our counselor and as our provider. We just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the word that's coming forth. Holy Spirit, have your way. You are the counselor. I just ask that rivers of revelation, wisdom, and knowledge begin to flow. I ask that every eye would be open. I ask that every veil would be exposed and shattered in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for what you've already done, and we thank you for what you're doing in this house in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good evening, beloved. How we doing? Let's go to Matthew 16. I want to show you something. You know, Apostle Paul, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and there was revelation that began to flow through Apostle Paul. And as we look at Apostle Paul, we can see that he knew his identity in Christ. So therefore, he was sharing with everybody, with the Galatians, with Ephesus, the church of Corinthians, especially the church of Ephesus. He kept telling them, we have to pray this every day. We got to pray that revelation will begin to flow. We got to pray that your eyes will begin to open. We got to pray that light will begin to spring forth. We got to pray, we got to pray, we got to pray. We got to pray. And why does he say that? What is revelation? Revelation is something that is revealed unto you. And the Holy Spirit, he comes and he transfers this revelation, not to your mind, but from spirit to spirit. See, the Bible says that we have to understand, we have to see the thing in our heart before it begins to shift into our mind. And therefore, we can have that physical understanding of what it is that Holy Spirit is transferring unto us. And if we look in Matthew 16, he says, Peter, who does these people say that I am? And he says, well, some say this and some say that. And then he says, Peter, who do you say that I am, Peter? And he says, you are the Christ. Revelation. Revealed identity. Who do you say you are? Because how you see Christ. How you're walking today is the revelation of the intimacy between you and the Father. Do you see yourself as servant? If you see yourself as servant, it's probably because your perspective, because you don't have that single eye. It's probably because you still think that you're unworthy. Probably thinking, because if somebody looks at themselves as a servant and they're mature in the Lord and they've been walking with Father longer than a couple years, because when we come unto know Christ, when we first get that revelation that he is Lord and yes, he has raised from the dead, we become servant because there's a love in our heart that explodes. And we have to be servant first, but we can't stay servant. See, he begins to wash us from all that unworthiness. He begins to cleanse us from all the anxieties and all the fears and all the torments and all the wounds and all the hurts and the baggage. He begins to say, give it unto me. We begin to release the baggage unto him, to where we can walk with a light load, where we can put on his yoke, where his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And we begin to walk like a feather on earth with not even looking over our shoulders. He says, Peter, on this revelation that you see me as Christ the Anointed, this revelation is what's going to build my house. We have to see Him as Christ. We have to see Him as Christ the Anointed. And as we begin to look at Him as Christ the Anointed, we'll begin to see that we are Christ the Anointed. Because Justin McIntosh is just embodying Christ the Anointed. Christ the Anointing is who I am. I am a Christian. I am a Christian. I have a vessel of Justin surrounding Christ. Everything, the seed of Christ bears witness on the inside of me when I begin to walk in love and release the glory of the Lord. When the glory of the Lord goes before me and it's behind me as a rear guard. Christ, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Revealed revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Revealed revelation of what dwells on the inside of you. Revealed revelation of who you are. As your eyes begin to get illuminated and enlightened of the truth. That you are no part of unworthiness. That you can be loved. That the Father says that you are my beloved. If you look at the apostles, if you look at Apostle Paul and you look at the three that went up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, why didn't all of them go? Why don't we all go to certain places? Why are only some of us chosen to go and some of us stay behind? Why is it that some have a greater fire and a greater hunger? Why is it that someone's laughing and joking and full of joy and the other one's not? He's just barely getting by. I'm doing good, brother. Pray for me. Jesus. In John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life. That we would intimately know the Father. And that we would intimately know Jesus Christ. It's not to get saved and to go to heaven. It's to get saved and to bring heaven to earth. But he says, upon this revelation of you knowing me as Christ and Christ dwelling on the inside of you because you are Christ, he says, then you're going to tap into your full inheritance as my beloved. And then that's when the church is going to get built. And who is the church? We are the church. John 17. On this rock. Revealed revelation. You know, in Matthew 3, some of us think that we have to work for the position or to be worthy enough to say that I am the beloved of Christ. But in Matthew 3, when Jesus was getting baptized, before any miracle, before any sign, before he did anything, he came up out of the water and the Father declared over his Son, "This is my beloved." And what happened after that in John and Matthew 4? This he was led by the Spirit of the Lord into the wilderness where he met the accuser. He met the one that came to steal, kill, and destroy. And what does he do? He comes to steal. Steal what? The word that was planted on the inside of you. He come to steal your identity. He come to steal your worth. And what did he say? If you are the Son of Man, turn this bread. Turn this stone into bread. But what did Jesus say? It is written, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word flowing from God Himself. Why did He say that? Why didn't Satan say, if you are the beloved? Because Satan was trying to shift the identity. Satan was trying to allow Jesus to look at something else. He didn't want Jesus to see that he was the beloved that the Father just spoke over him. He wanted to see that he was just a son. Did you hear me? Just a son. And if Jesus would have recognized, if Jesus would have received that I am just a son and forgot what the Father has spoken over me, then he might have took that chance and he might have rose up and he might have would have turned that stone into bread. Why do you say that? Because every word we're supposed to live on that flows from the mouth of God. So if God calls Jesus the beloved, then he's calling us the beloved too, before any signs, miracles, and wonders can be flowing from us. We just have to identify, we have to get the revelation, and once we get the revelation that we are the beloved and we're worthy to be the beloved, then we can begin to start speaking it and standing on it and walking in it. And upon this revelation, this is when the grace and the glory is going to go. This is how the church is going to get built. Amen? Every apostle in the New Testament was martyred, but one. Apostle Paul had the revelation. Apostle Paul seen Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul told everybody, pray for revelation knowledge. Pray that your eyes will be open. Pray, this is the hope of glory, Christ in you. Pray, pray, pray. He's seen and revelation flowed from him continually. Signs, miracles, and wonders flowed from him continually. But King Herod still ordered for him to be beheaded. Peter wanted to build temples on the Mount of Transfiguration when God himself came down and said, this is my beloved, and their clothes and their face begin to shine. And Moses and Elijah showed up. Peter wanted to build tabernacles. Peter got hung upside down. James was beheaded with a sword. Mighty men of God that seen the transfiguration, that seen Jesus walk, signs, miracles, and wonders. Apostle Paul writ almost most of the New Testament. Still. But there was only one, John. He knew. He wrote a book on himself that says, I am the beloved. I am the one that Jesus loved. The glory of the Lord goes before me. It is my rear guard. My head rests upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. He is the Son. He is the Christ. I am the beloved. If you want to go into the Old Testament, look at Daniel. Daniel knew he was the beloved. And in Daniel 10, the angel of the Lord came to Daniel and say, you are, Daniel, greatly beloved. Why? Because he would not bow down. He would not sell his soul. He would not bow down and worship an idol that the king says, you're going to worship this God or you're going to die. And he says, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you got. I don't care what you make. I don't care what you put before me. I'm not going to do it. I serve the God himself, Jehovah Jireh. And then the fire got turned up 7 times hotter. And he says, okay, we're going to throw you and the other 3 in. Even though they were favored by the Lord. Even though they was testifying of the given interpretation of the dreams and the visions that the king just had. Favored. Walking in the love. Saying, Lord, use me. I'm going to put away the steak. I'm going to put away the wine. And I'm going to drink the foods that's going to keep this vessel clean so that I can show your glory even in my body. So that my body would shine, so that my skin would shine like a newborn baby, that I can reveal the glory of the Lord even on this flesh. And when he got, we know the story, he got thrown in the fire, and there was a 4th one. Jesus stepped in there. Why? Because he says, I'm not bowing down to the idols of this world system, no matter what that is and no matter what the cost is. I am the beloved. I am greatly beloved. And then what happened to that king? He got thrown out into the wilderness and had to eat of the grass. And got a curse 7 times worse than what he would have got. Why? Why? Because he turned it up 7 times hotter on Daniel. So the father said, okay. And then another king was raised up. And then the first month, the guys came to him and said, sign this paper, sign this paper. Whoever doesn't worship these gods are going to get tossed into the lion's den. They're going to die. Daniel hit his knees and he fasted and prayed for 3 times a day. He says, Lord, save me. He says, I'm around a bunch of wicked people. There's a bunch of idolatry going on. There's a bunch of idols. Everybody's worshiping all these images and stuff around here. Lord, save me. Give me the grace to walk in your love. Give me the grace to reveal that I am the beloved to you. Give me the grace to walk in the strength. Me and my 3 boys, protect me. Put that shield around me, Father. And when he was noticed by somebody, he was praying to his God. And that king had the fear of the Lord upon him. He says, you're not guilty. He says, but I signed this paper, so I got to send you. And he sent him, and that king went and fasted and prayed to the God. It says, God, protect Daniel and the lion's king. And after fasting and praying, he ran in there and he peeked around the corner and he says, Daniel, did your God save you from the lions? He says, yes, there was an angel of the Lord that's got to sit in here and shut the mouth of this lion in the name of Jesus. Wow. All because he says, I will not do that because my father says no. And I am going to represent him because I know who he is and I know who I am, no matter what the cause. I'm not selling my soul to gain the world. I'm not selling my soul to gain some man's love towards me so that I can be promoted by man. I'm going to serve you, Father, no matter what the cost. You're going to promote me. You're going to put your honor on me. People are going to honor me because I walk in your love, because I'm revealing your glory, because I'm lifting up your name everywhere I go. Get that revelation tonight. Get that revelation that you are the beloved. You know what happened to John? They tried to kill John. It doesn't say it in the Bible, but if you look it up on Google, Google never lies. It tells you that... Yeah. It said that they threw John in a big old tub of hot oil to burn him, to kill him. And then they threw him in that oil and it was so hot and it should have killed him instantly, but he just bathed in it. He came out of it and it didn't touch him. It didn't hurt him. It didn't singe him. It didn't burn him. It didn't even hurt his feelings because he knew his identity. He knew who he was. What's hurting your feelings today? Do you know why we have the book of Revelations? Because we have a man that knew that he was loved by God. We have the book of Revelations because we have a man, an apostle, the only apostle in the New Testament that says, I am the beloved. I rest upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. And nothing can hurt me. Nothing can kill me. And even though they threw me in a big old jug or a big old tub of oil and it was supposed to kill me, and even though that I seen Peter die and I seen all the other apostles die and murdered and decapitated and everything else, it still does seem I still am not going to wave. I'm still going to walk this line. I'm still going to do what I called to do. I'm going to finish this race strong. And then they threw him out at the island of Patmos. With no food, with nothing to eat. They was just going to starve him to death. John was happy. No disturbance. Nobody to bother him. He got to spend time with Papa. And when he was in the spirit, because he was with Papa and there was no food, he was automatically drawn closer. He was more sensitive to the spirit even more because of him being in a fasted state of mind. From him being focused on God because there was nothing to eat, he says, Father. And he was already in the spirit and he got called up through the door. and got showed things to come because he was the beloved. He had that John 17. He's the one who wrote it. Eternal life is intimacy with the Father, not as a servant, not as a young son, but as a mature son walking as the beloved. Revelation. Let's go to Luke 20 real quick. I'll close with this. For no other foundation shall be laid but Christ. Luke 20. The wicked vine dressers, the parable. The Lord. You know what Lord is? Someone who has control. When you call him Lord, when you say, this is my Lord, that means that when you was young, you went where you went, but now that you've grown up, and now you see him as Lord, and now you yoke onto him, and you go where he tells you to go. Because he controls you. You give an over body, soul, and spirit unto him. You glorify him not just in spirit and soul, but in your flesh as well. Isaiah 58. The glory of the Lord goes before you, the light springing forth. The glory be in your rear guard, like Pastor's been talking about. Yeah, he taught Tuesday. Just allowing and knowing and recognizing and claiming that he is your rear guard. You might know it, but do you have the revelation of it? Can you walk without looking behind you? Can you walk without looking at your past? Can you walk without being offended? Can you walk and love the one that's persecuting you? Can you release control over to him? Can you release anxiety over to him? You know, whenever in John 8, in Matthew 8, when they was going across in the boat, and Jesus was down in the boat sleeping, and the other ones was up in fear and trembling, and because a storm was coming and it was getting high and getting rocky, and they ran down there and woke up Jesus and says, what are you doing? Why are you sleeping? We're gonna die. He says, oh, you of little faith. Why did he say that? Because his apostles should have been sleeping with him. In Psalms 127 verse 2, it says that the beloved sleepeth. Jesus was sleeping because he knew the glory of the Lord was before him, and he knew the glory of the Lord was his rear guard. And he knew that the Father had this thing ordained, and it was already finished once he seen it in the Spirit. And so he just got in the boat and went to sleep, knowing that he was going to get to the other side, and knowing that he was going to get over there in safety, whether if he had to walk on the water or not. But his apostles, fear and trembling. If you're not sleeping, if you have anxiety, if you have unrest, if you have torment on the inside of you, if you have a problem being by yourself and you find yourself lonely at times, it's okay. Recognize it and say, Holy Spirit, transfer spirit to spirit. Give me a fresh revelation of Father. Give me a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let me embrace that intimacy. You've come to raise me up at the last day so that I can behold the glory of the Father. Let me behold the glory, the glory. One touch from God will shift you. But how do you get the touch? You have to get the revelation. Once you get the revelation, then you can get the touch. Once you get the revelation, you know what touched you. And it can touch you again. And it can touch you again. And now you can abide in it. And now you can dwell in it. The wicked servant. The Lord. He made a vineyard, and he planted, and he put a hedge around it. And he told the husbandry, he says, protect this vineyard. He says, in due season, I'm going to send some people to harvest the fruit from this. And so after a while in season, it says that he sent a servant, and they killed the servant, and they sent him away. Well, actually, they killed him. And then he says, okay, I'll send the second one. I'll send a son. And he sent a son. And they stoned him, and he left empty handed. And he sent another son, and they killed him. And he says, I wonder what they would do if I sent my beloved. I wonder, they gotta respect him. I mean, he's my beloved. He must know that he is loved. He must know his identity. He must be mature in the intimacy of his father. Because if he was going to send a beloved, that beloved had to know that he was the beloved. Because he walked with a stature. And he walked with an identity of knowing who I am. He walked with his head lifted up high. He walked with boldness and confidence. He walked with, I'm not selling nothing. I'm not bowing down to nothing. You're going to bow down. And what happened? They ended up killing him. But you know what? After he killed the beloved, the Lord went after him. Who do you say you are? How do you see yourself when you look into a mirror? Do you turn away and forget? When you find yourself alone at night, are you lonely? When you're being called out to doing something that you normally don't do, are you trembling at your knees with anxiety? When you're trying to love your neighbor, but you're scared and you have walls put up because you're scared of betrayal, because you're scared of what they might think about you, or because you only allow them to get so close to you because you don't want them to be intimate with you. You'll say, you can be my servant and I will serve you. But friendship is not going to happen. Because a friend sticks closer than a brother. The friends that I have, they know everything about me. And I was not ashamed to tell them. I know everything about them. I know their gifts. I know their calling. I know their identity. I know the season that they're walking in. I know the direction that they're going. Why? Because I pray for them. And their walk bear witnesses with my spirit. And I have peace in my soul and in my spirit. When I come to them, when I hang out with them, when I sharpen them, when I prophesy over them, when I pray with them. Who do you say Jesus is? Lord, I ask that you would reveal yourself to every individual in here in a new way, including myself. We're supposed to go from glory to glory. What is that? His presence. It's a touch from Him. Glory is everything the Father is. Manifested presence. Behold His glory. We were called to behold the glory, not of the Lord, but of the Father. Jesus says, I have come to raise you up out of the Jordan River into new life so that you can spend eternal life with my daddy and you can behold the glory that I behold. Hey, Chris, I want you to put a song on Run to the Father. We have to start speaking even if we don't believe that we are the beloved. Every single day, wake up and look into the mirror. I've been doing it. Look into the mirror and say, you are the beloved. You are the one that Jesus loves. Your head rests upon his heart. Every single day, I am going to spend time with the beloved this morning before I go to work. I will not bow down to any idolaters because you, Lord, if I were to call fire down from heaven because I am the beloved, you will release it. Nothing is going to come to destroy me without your hand not being upon it. You protect me, you guard me, you shield me, you love me. You show me who you are in a new way every single day. Revelation knowledge begins to flow every day. My eyes are open to a new you every day. Just spend time with the Lord and just begin to focus on I am the beloved. Begin to focus on I am worthy to be loved. Begin to focus on the Father loves me even though that I'm not releasing and laying hands on, but I'm getting there because the Father loves me and he's gonna walk with me and he's gonna build my faith and he's gonna lift up my countenance and he's gonna put boldness inside of me. He's gonna put confidence on the inside of me. I am a son, but I am the beloved son. I don't walk around outside the house. I dwell on the inside of the house. I have the keys to the house. He gives me keys to the kingdom. The way I made loose or that I made loose the things that need to be loosed.